Hello and welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at chicagofootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at jsolly. I'm sort of running solo today, but I'm not. Arthur Arkish is on assignment at Hallis Hall. JC Talon is out this week. But I'm not alone. I've got a great guest here, Joe Ostrowski, host of the 670 The Scores Fantasy Football Show on Sundays from 8 to 9 a.m. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeO670. Joe Ostrowski, welcome back to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast.
John, appreciate you guys having me on once again. I'll just apologize off the bat to all the podcast listeners for the raspy / 13-year-old voice I have going on right now.
Well, all 13 of our listeners do appreciate that, Joe. We're going to be DFS specific. I know we've on the podcast here, we've tried to stay on top of what's going on in the world of daily fantasy sports. A lot of controversy over the past couple of weeks, and news continuing to break every single day. Joe, I'm going to start with this. Are you still playing DFS?
I am. Yeah, it's funny, John. The news is changing. Like, tomorrow, this podcast might be outdated. That's just
seriously
how rapid the news has been going on over the past few weeks. I am still playing DFS. I am playing on both DraftKings and FanDuel. That's what I've stuck with. I've tried Yahoo. I wasn't a big fan, so I removed my money. Full disclosure, I do endorse FanDuel on 670 The Score. And this morning, I actually removed my money from DraftKings.
Really? So what led to that decision specifically on DK?
There's a few different things, but just the way things have gone, and there are a lot of rumors out there, which I don't think we should broadcast. People can find them out if they want. I don't like the way that they've handled a lot of things. And people will probably say, oh, that's because he endorses FanDuel. No, I'm telling you straight up that I've been playing DraftKings every single week and have loved it. And they had their internal investigation. People rolled their eyes as expected. Okay, fine. And then yesterday, you have this report that their outside investigation that they did, where they are refusing to say what they paid former U.S. Attorney John Pappalardo, how much they paid him, and they're talking about releasing everything. We're trying to be upfront and be open and honest. Any questions you have, we're going to answer them. And yeah, we're not going to release the full report either.
Yeah, I agree with you from a PR standpoint. Going back to the beginning, DraftKings has screwed this up from the start, from Jump Street, really. You look at when this information came out, Ethan Haskell's post that opened up this just Pandora's box of questions that we still don't have answers to. They waited a week before a two-paragraph statement, and then eventually got on a couple of TV shows. They've been behind on this, really, from Jump Street on this. And it's from a PR standpoint, I think they ought to be at least a little embarrassed of how they've handled it, don't they?
Wouldn't you like to hear from Ethan Haskell?
I would, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here's where I stand on the data leak, going back a few weeks, everything that's gone down. Ethan Haskell had access. He made a mistake. Do I think that there's been insider trading, like a lot of the reports have been saying, to get people to buy into their big story about the controversy in DFS? And it is a controversy. Do I think there's insider trading? Absolutely not. But it just opened all of our eyes. Of course it makes sense that a DraftKings employee has access to ownership of tournaments on DraftKings. Of course. And everybody going nuts. Well, that really makes sense. You think nobody at DraftKings has access to this data? Now, what we all didn't know is that DraftKings employees are playing on FanDuel and vice versa.
Exactly.
But about the ownership levels, oh, it's insider trading because he knew the ownership levels. Let me explain something to people. I know listeners of this podcast understand DFS, but people that don't understand it, we're well aware of what the ownership levels are.
Yeah, it's very public data. You can find it at about 10 other sites Friday morning based off of the Thursday lineups on FanDuel. It is not difficult.
And low ownership does not mean you're becoming a millionaire or you're going to win 350K. It can also mean you wasted your money and were very stupid when you made a lineup because you put a bunch of bad players in there.
Yeah, and that's been my point all along, that You know, Ethan Haskell, this is a perfect storm of awful timing for him to win $350,000 on FanDuel the same day that he puts out a data leak. That's incredibly unfortunate timing. I'm not saying I feel bad for him. He's got $350K in one contest. He's doing okay. But the whole Ethan Haskell winning an insider trade, it was overblown to me.
But the question stands, and I don't think we have our answers yet. What was the access for him and other employees? What exactly was the access?
Mm-hmm.
And when did he and other employees receive that access? When does he get it? That's still a question that we don't have answers to.
Yeah, and how often were they able to query that access? And what did they do with it? Well, my biggest concern throughout this entire thing, what was stopping a DraftKings employee from looking up a Sharks lineup? What's Peter Jennings doing? What's Max Delarue doing? And using that on FanDuel, or, you know, vice versa, with a FanDuel employee doing the same thing and heading over to DraftKings. What? There were no controls in place to stop that.
That's the bigger issue, John. You hit it, and it's something I've been preaching too. That's the question. Do they have access to specific lineups? Can they look up a certain player's account and go see what players that they are using and then use that information elsewhere? Now, I did say we don't have answers to the information about when he got the access. The report says 12:40 Central Time, 1:40 Eastern Time, after the noon game started, which means you can't make any changes on FanDuel because lineups lock at noon for those tournaments with games starting at noon. I'm just having a very difficult time believing anything DraftKings has been saying. So in the end, that's why I ended up removing my money this morning.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't blame you. And, you know, for them to, you know, I read the ESPN report that it was an independent and comprehensive investigation. Really, no investigation is independent without subpoena power. You know, everyone involved had every reason to say whatever benefited them the most, whether that was the truth or not. So I agree with you. I don't have a whole lot of reason to believe them. Now, am I still playing on DraftKings at this point? Yeah, but it's really small stakes. I'm not going out and entering huge contests. I'm keeping it real small, and I'm strongly considering removing my account from there as well.
How do you feel about FanDuel? Do you feel the exact same small stakes, or same as usual?
I feel the same as I do on DraftKings, and really it feels like FanDuel has been kind of on the sidelines from this whole thing too, from a PR standpoint. Now I know most of this is centered around a DraftKings employee and questions we don't know about what's going on at DraftKings, but we have similar questions about FanDuel too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm keeping it small. And you know, we're going to move ahead here to looking at our own state. Reminder here that we are taping this on 1:30 on Tuesday afternoon. So this entire thing could change, 5 minutes after we're done. Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General, may issue an opinion this week. So again, things may have changed entirely. But there's a report, and I thank you for tweeting the link on this because I didn't see it yesterday until I saw you tweeted this. A report out of Southern Illinois, a state rep, Mike Zalewski, Democrat from Riverside, said that he's likely to unveil an amendment to a proposal that he filed in April that called for more oversight of sites like FanDuel and DraftKings. So, Joe, what are the chances that DFS is legal in Illinois in time for, say, Sunday's games?
I would love to know the answer to that question, John.
I would, too.
I really would, as I sound like a 13-year-old again. I tweeted that out, and then actually a little bit ago, Evan Silva retweeted that because he saw that as well. And it's funny, the reaction that I'm getting from a lot of people is the line about the government being involved. But we're just at a point right now. Do you want it or don't you? And if you want to keep DFS, there's probably going to be some form of government regulation, at least in our state. And we have, I believe, 8 states right now in the U.S. that don't allow DFS, including Nevada, which happened last week. And now Illinois and Pennsylvania are involved in talks right now.
Georgia's taking a look as well.
Yeah, that's just my question to people. What? How bad do you want it? Do you want to play or do you not? Because if you say you don't want the government involved at all, they ruin everything. Okay, fine. I'm not going to disagree with you. But then you have to be able to accept it looks like the way things are going, this not being legal in Illinois.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think maybe 50-50 in time for Sunday's games, and after that, who really knows? We'll see what Lisa Madigan has to say. But I think everyone should be totally fine with regulation of this because there's zero trust in these companies right now. At least from our perspective, there's zero trust. So there needs to be some sort of regulation done to this. Otherwise, I don't see the point.
Yeah, I don't have the issue. I don't have an issue with that at all. And here's what people are going to keep going back to, people that don't know a whole lot about DFS. Well, it's gambling. I play DFS every week. You do the same, John. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. It is gambling.
Right.
But it is also a skill. Even though that law was passed in 2006 and it's written like it's totally a skill, I think it's both. It's both a skill and it is gambling. And if you don't believe me, try DFS. Let me know how you do. I know you have a 50-50 shot. If you took the New England Patriots -10 on Sunday night up against Indianapolis, if you go against some of the top players in DFS, if you jump into a tournament, you don't have a 50-50 shot unless you have some experience.
Yeah, Joe, thank you for saying that. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now, that this is not – this game of skill versus game of chance debate is a false argument. It's not binary. It's both. It can be a game of skill, but it is also a game of chance. If you roster Jamal Charles against the Bears, well, guess what? You were out of luck after he got hurt. So this stuff happens. It's not binary. Go ahead.
It really bothers me. You're betting money. You're betting on players. Mm-hmm. You're right, and that's what makes it gambling to me. But the best gamblers in the world go 60%. Like, you're a god in Vegas if against the spread you're going 60%.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Best DFS players, probably 90%.
Yep. I totally agree. And I will also point out something you pointed out on Twitter, that there have been significant drops in the prize pools for the major tournaments for DraftKings and FanDuel. I think that people might sort of be with us and that there's a bit of a stay away or small stakes. I think DraftKings is significantly down in their millionaire maker. They're down to a $6 million prize pool. FanDuel went down as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And FanDuel, what was interesting, they also made it a flatter prize pool at the very top. Like, it used to go from $1 million to second place, $100,000. And for this weekend, it's $500,000 for first place, $250,000 for second place, and I believe third place was $100,000. So I do think there's an element of people staying away. That's what happened this past weekend. But it was funny, after the story broke that weekend about Ethan Haskell, they had the most volume ever.
Yeah, biggest week ever for those two sites, despite a data leak story for a week, for a solid week.
Well, the Sunday Million actually filled this weekend. So what I think in the FanDuel case, they're just looking ahead. Now we don't have anybody in Nevada. This week we might not have anybody in Pennsylvania and Illinois. And they know what those numbers are and how many players they have in those states. So I think it made sense.
Yeah, I agree with you on this. Is there anything else you would like to see these sites do to fix, even if it's just from a PR perspective, but really, from a player perspective, what else do you want to see out of these sites specifically? I mean, since you're playing on FanDuel, specifically FanDuel, what other changes do you want to see?
Well, we know this is cutthroat, right? Mm-hmm. These two companies going after each other, the media blitz, and they're always trying to outdo each other. That has to stop right now. I mean, this is crucial. It's really about uniting everybody that plays DFS and trying to convince these lawmakers about why it needs to stay and about how much enjoyment it brings and opportunities that it brings for other people. They have to work together on this. I've heard that they are going to, but we'll wait and see. Right now there is a petition you can go sign at FanDuel.com/takeaction, FanDuel.com/takeaction. And I would encourage everybody to contact the attorney general in the state of Illinois and as many people as you can. That's really all they can do to get the message out there about why it should stay.
Yeah, and I think even from a PR standpoint, just a couple fewer commercials. Just a couple. It doesn't have to be a full-scale rollback. But
John, I can't believe these two companies have not cut back on that yet.
Yeah,
I don't care what anybody says. I keep, oh, it's because of Ethan Haskell. This has all happened. It all started with him. If he didn't do this or he didn't do that, this never would have happened. That's a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people out there rooting against these companies because they hate the commercials so much. When asked, okay, what's your argument for getting rid of Daily Fantasy? The number one thing they say is, I am so sick of the commercials. I can't believe they haven't dialed it back.
I'm with you on that. And every story we tweet out for Match Shy Football, or if Hub retweets it, we get a flood of comments of, I don't care, just get them off the TV.
Yeah.
That's where everyone is. They're sick and tired. My friends and I, we were watching the Bears game on Sunday, and we made a joke that if you started a drinking game for every time you saw a FanDuel or a DraftKings commercial, you'd be dead by the end of the first quarter. You would. You'd be dead.
That's accurate.
All right. Anything else you want to add in terms of the DFS controversy or anything else you'd like to see from either of these sites?
No, I think that just about covers it. And even if it does go away in our state of Illinois, it doesn't mean it's not going to come back. I just really hope they figure something out. And in the end, this might end up being a great thing for everyone involved in the end. But right now I'm very concerned.
Yeah, I agree. As long as there are some controls and regulations put into place, I don't think this is going away, but I do agree that it could go away for a little bit while they do figure this out. That could happen. So let's get to our final thing. Assuming it's still legal by the time NFL week comes, do you have any favorite plays for the week?
Please. I hope I can do some research. My wife, my kids, maybe they don't hope it, but I hope I can do some research. All right, the first thing I look at every week, John, is I take a look at the early lines out in Vegas.
Yep.
And I'm looking for home favorites with some running backs that get a whole lot of the work. And one guy is jumping out at me. Coming off a bye, looking at Todd Gurley at home for the Rams. They're 5.5-point favorites right now, going against one of the worst run defenses in the Cleveland Browns. So I absolutely love Todd Gurley. Early on, he might be a staple for you every single lineup. He's going to be highly owned, but I love the production with Todd Gurley. Taking a look at quarterback, some things that jump out to me. Baltimore, New Orleans, and Kansas City, absolutely horrible against quarterbacks. KC has allowed 14 touchdowns to quarterbacks.
That's not good.
Roethlisberger might return. He might return. The game is at Kansas City. I don't love playing players off of injuries, but we saw Alshon perform well, and we've seen it other times this year. If Roethlisberger plays, I'm all in on Ben, and I'd be all in on Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant if he plays. Now, Carson Palmer, Monday night at home against the Ravens. The Ravens secondary is an absolute joke, so I love Palmer. John Brown went off this weekend. Larry Fitzgerald, as steady as they come. And even Michael Floyd involved in the action over the last couple weeks. Looking at tight end as well, Oakland, oh my goodness. 6 touchdowns in 5 games against tight ends. Only one other team has given up 6 touchdowns to the tight end position, and Oakland has done it in 5 games. They've got Antonio Gates coming, okay? That guy is catching everything. He made some amazing catches in Green Bay on Sunday. I love Antonio Gates. And then without Jamal Charles, you have Travis Kelce going up against Pittsburgh, who's also given up 6 touchdowns to tight ends. It's always dicey when you have to rely on Alex Smith. But maybe Travis Kelce in a tournament, I like him as a possible play too.
Yeah, I love a lot of those picks. I know Arthur would be thrilled to talk about Todd Gurley. We started last week's podcast with saying, okay, Arthur, just go on Todd Gurley. And it was a solid 3 minutes of just praise for Gurley. I really like him, and I like him at his price across the industry. And Antonio Gates, if Phillip Rivers is going to throw for 500 yards, yeah, I'll take all his pass catchers. That's totally fine by me. You can follow him on Twitter at JoeO670. Joe Ostrowski, thank you very much for coming on the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast.
Thank you, John.
All right, and that'll do it for the podcast today. Don't forget to get all the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts, and listen to our podcast each week as we get prepared to help you win throughout the season. Our podcast is available on iTunes, so if you've not done so already, please head over and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Like the most dependable and long-lasting trucks on the road, Chevy Truck Month rolls on. Check out all of the Chevy truck selections at ChevyDriveChicago.com today and drive what Dan Hampton drives. Big thanks to Joe Ostrowski for being a guest on today's show. Our producer today was Dan Mott. Our associate producer was Nick DeMaio. And I'm John Solly. For all of us at ChicagoFootball.com, we hope you have a great week of fantasy football.